Back in the boat of knowledge that is Behind the Beard WNC, a podcast where four friends gather around a table, usually, and we banter about a number of subjects. A lot of times it degenerates to high school football, and that's usually where we like to stay. It's for our entertainment. We hope you're entertained, too, but there are other options if you're not. Gentlemen, football is underway in high school here in North Carolina.
Yes, it is. It was such a great Friday, wasn't it?
Indeed. It was an interesting Friday. A lot of great contests. Wow. It's good to have it
there,
all back.
There were some things that we expected, and there were some things that they may have been a little bit of a surprise.
Indeed. Now, Michael, what did you do this weekend?
Well, I wish I could tell you that I went to a high school football game.
Yeah.
But like I mentioned last week, we raced in Michigan Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I left and went to Maine. We raced Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I flew home this morning. I have not seen my house since Monday.
So you're tired.
I am tired. I'm very tired.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. It's worth it. Was supposed to go back to Maine and race again this weekend at a different racetrack, Wiscasset. I'm not saying it with enough accent. Wiscasset. But unfortunately, we tore the car up, so we're not going back this week.
Wow. So you have a weekend off from racing?
I have a weekend off. So
that's unheard of.
So we're hanging out Saturday is what you're saying.
We are. And remind me, I'll tell you all about it. I already have plans for us. So okay, just good. Be ready. I know you're out of town.
I'm going to Louisville.
You'll never go, but Lewis will be there.
Yeah, we'll hang out.
Or you can come to Louisville with me. You want to do that?
Okay.
So I have other friends in Kentucky.
Well, you have friends?
I do.
I thought we were it, but evidently.
Oh, wait a minute. What did he say about his friends up there?
They're way better than us.
Way better than us. We're like four or five levels down from them.
Yes. It's house size. Well,
what's the song? I like friends in low places where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases.
You're not country enough to be able to sing that. Sorry.
Not in his tie and compound that we're sitting
That's
in.
That's what I'm saying.
I am country.
The butler took poor Carson the wrong way.
I have no butler
It
in
took
this
him
house.
10 minutes to get down here.
I was hitting on the golf simulator.
I think he found the bar is what happened.
The golf simulator.
Yeah, golf simulator. Now I have a golf simulator. Agony. Y'all you think my top golf score would be better if I had a golf simulator? Boy, I got my butt kicked last week by, I think Lewis and I went to Top Golf a couple weeks back, and we played for 2 hours there.
I won exactly zero
games.
We have a clip from Pat's Top Golf experience.
You do?
Yeah.
Basically, the nipple region down to the shin region.
That's what we heard about Top Golf last time.
That's true. We did talk about that last time. So. Anyway, the cheese is falling off my cracker.
I just like to hear you say nipple, Pat.
Do you?
I do.
Does that do a lot for you, Mike?
Yeah, it does.
Do you have anything you want to say to Pat?
Oh, please.
I do have an apology for you, Pat.
Oh, yeah? What are you saying?
I have a
for?
Clip from last week. I may have been a little pushy with Pat and getting his conference picks in.
What about the top three?
He's on five.
You've had an 8,000 word monologue so far. I've had eight.
And as I was listening, Pat, you were right.
Yes.
It's because you were excited.
I was excited. What about you, Carson? What do you got going on?
I mean, I tell you, it's that's the thing about us is we don't just go at teams. We can kind of go at each other sometimes. But shout out to Mike for being here. Talk about a true grit and football guy. I mean, he's not seen his house in a week.
I did the picks from the hotel room at some point. I can't even remember when.
But the group message, as always, was popping off Friday night. And it's like Mike said, we expected some things. We did not expect some things.
Well, some of us expected most of the things.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, the great seer of seers, Lewis Anderson.
For the pick sheet, it's like Lewis had a strong week. I would like everybody to go screenshot it. This is the first and last week that Lewis will be in first place.
Yeah. That's going to be a clip next week.
Indeed.
And I apologize for not posting the pick sheet on Facebook. I'll be honest with you, I forgot.
Still, everybody's seen it on Instagram.
Yeah, we're good. It gets a ton of traction, and we had a L. Lewis already, which ended up being a W. Lewis.
Of course, that's what it always is.
Agony.
It's been, we're here, and then college football starting this Saturday. I mean, which is starting.
Yeah,
it started last Saturday, yeah. And there was a couple good games.
Does it not count since they didn't have college game day?
I think so.
I just meant like the big games. I mean, right. Texas, Ohio State's going to be awesome.
I don't know, dude. Yes. If you can't turn on at 9:30 in the morning
and watch
watch game day,
yeah, yeah,
do,
for sure.
Do you, Do you feel like Alabama has a running clock by a halftime?
Okay. Well, we got to go there instantly.
Wow.
Instantly.
Wow.
It would be awesome. I think Alabama wants to see their starters play in the second half. But it's like they're really going to have to they're going to have to manage the game so that they can do so.
Just like Reynolds last week, right?
Nice. Yeah. Well, I had nothing to say about any of this, and you're tossing my Rockets under the bus.
Oh, no.
So, you know, we last week we had a we talked a little bit about our conference picks. Are you guys ready to make any changes to your conference picks? Or you feel good about them? Let's see.
I'm going to pause. I'm going to see how things roll.
You're going to wait till week four?
Yeah.
Let's see.
I think I'm 2-0. I mean, I think I got Wes Henderson dethroning the MAC champs and Asheville Cougars. I mean, it's we're there. 2-0. So I don't want to change the thing.
What did Pat say about our picks?
Throwing at a dartboard right there.
Asheville, Irwin, and Reynolds. You could flip a coin. I mean,
that's why I said.
I mean, that's what I said. You could flip a coin, Asheville Irwin.
Let's hear what Pat said.
What did Pat have to say?
Pulse, this is like, just a load of crap right here that we're doing. Just so everybody knows,
we've not been to practices. One injury.
I got a dartboard.
I got a dartboard right here, and we'd be more accurate using that thing than we.
I don't know if you heard Mike Anderson there in the background.
He said something about one injury.
One injury can change it all.
Indeed.
So, we'll get to that a little bit, too. I think that changes the conference a little bit. Man, exciting stuff. So, we talked about the picks. We'll go ahead and give them to you. Lewis, the big winner last week, 7-3.
Of course.
Six and four for Mike. Carson was 500.
Just average. That's
5-5.
Yeah, just name of the game.
What about Pat?
4-6.
Cellar dweller. Indeed.
We also have a clip for the picks. You want to play the first clip?
Someone's going to be in first place and someone's going to be in last place by the end of this week.
I think Carson nailed it.
Yeah. I nailed it.
Somebody will be in first place.
That was the one pick I got 100% correct. Lewis is in first and Pat's in last. I did not see that one.
Oh, man.
Negative three right now? See negative three?
Yeah, yeah. You're Pat's three back. That's what you're saying. Yes. Yep.
Negative three.
I was trying to. What's negative three?
I was going to say the
outside
temperature. No. So yeah, Pat is three games back.
Yep.
Good luck now.
Good luck, Pat.
Indeed, we're all throwing darts at that board still.
Just keep picking them.
I will, and you as well.
Which is interesting, though. So we didn't.
That's fair. That's fair, Pat. I like that.
We didn't have spreads last week, which it still. I mean, there was not. It wasn't like every. I mean, there's still a three game split between first and last. So
we are going to have spreads this week.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Do you want to remind everyone how that works?
I think at this point, not just Carson. I think everybody knows how the spread.
You think
works.
So?
Yep. Okay. So that's what I'm going to go with. But the underdog. Okay, if you are not picked to win, there's going to be a plus sign by your name, and that means that you are given that many points. So you're basically starting the game. But I would like to add to all the coaches that are listening is good teams win, but great teams cover.
That's true.
If it's in the fourth quarter, I'd love getting everybody in, but let's just make sure if Carson picks you to win by 21.5, let's get that final score.
Because it's all about Carson.
That's right.
That's what high school sports are for.
No.
It's for us to make the spread. That's fantastic. Oh.
So let's talk about week one. You guys ready?
Yeah.
We'll talk about week one, and then we got a poll or two to talk about. Not Pat, but another one. So first game, Hayesville at Asheville School. Asheville School wins it 41-0. We all got this one correct for Asheville School. Marvin Lazor, 79 yards rushing, 4 receptions for 112 yards, 2 touchdowns. New quarterback Jonas Howard, 7 for 7, 187 yards and 2 touchdowns. So for Hazel, no stats, 41-0. We all got it right. So no surprise there.
Yeah.
Game two, little bit of a surprise. Ambassador Christian, first year with the varsity program, traveled up to Arden to play Christ School. Ambassador Christian gets the win, 28-16. Pat Lewis got this one right.
You know, when I was sitting in the stands at Brevard, I pulled this up on the phone on the My 40 because they were televising it, you know.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And I noticed, didn't you say last week that this team was JV last year, but they didn't have a varsity program, and this is their first year at varsity,
Somebody
right?
did say that.
going to go with Christ School.
Okay.
Based off of the, they played JV last year.
That is what Carson said.
Yeah.
Was that true? Or
that is true.
They only played JV.
Only played JV. They went 10-0, but they currently have 96 players.
That's
on their
what
team.
I noticed. And they were there were some big kids on that team. Yeah. There were some athletes on that team.
With 96, there's bound to be a couple big boys out there.
one of the guys I know to watch the game, and he was saying that the biggest struggle for Christ School is their offensive line, and it makes sense. They had to replace four of the five. Two of them are D1 tackles. So I mean.
Irwin knows what they're going through.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? They've replaced five.
Yes, but their offense is totally different.
Yeah.
They're more reliant on quick throws than they are a traditional style run pass offense.
Okay, I can get behind that.
Yeah, I agree.
So next up, I think one we were all happy to see, Rosman at Owen. Owen comes out 35-0, gets the win.
It's a good opener. Good way to start the season.
Indeed.
So in the running clock, 35 now?
Yeah, we
have. So you got a running clock, like, on your side. I know you guys are used to the running clock, but it's on your side.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, like, in the third quarter, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang. If you would have told me that Owen has a running clock this year and it was for them, I would be.
So are you guys still thinking 7-3? Is that what we're still thinking?
I never said that's what it was going to be, but
didn't I think Lewis said he said
I said
7-3.
There was some talks of 7-3. I didn't say that's what it was going to be.
There was some talks,
but I mean, with everything I've seen in the offseason, I am very encouraged about this season.
You have to be,
right?
So, I mean, you have to be. You've lost to Owen. You've lost to Rosman two consecutive years, and so you go into that game, and it was a pick 'em. It was not a 35-point spread,
right?
And you guys handled business. So I think we're all in. Like,
not surprised. Like Owen won. Just. I'm surprised they won by 35.
Sure, sure. I mean, a good bounce back from last year. We lost, 29-27 last year.
Was that your last game of the season last year?
Yeah.
Wow. So the next game is against the same opponent.
35-0. This week will be a big test for them, though. We'll see.
Let me give you a few stats for Rosman. They had five running backs combined for 153 yards and 22 yards passing. For Owen, remind me of the quarterback's first name.
Emmett
Meeks, 3 of 6 for 47 yards. He also rushed it 11 times for 81 yards and a touchdown. Steven Anderson, the second rusher, with 11 carries for 78 yards and a touchdown. As a team, they rushed for 262 yards. On defense, Emerson Autry led with 8 tackles.
Yep.
Am I missing anything? Anything else going on there you want to tell us about?
Emerson also, at the end of the game, sealed the 0-point win with an interception, so... I mean, great defensive game by him. Emmett, very good game. Even the couple that he didn't complete, right in the wheelhouse, they should have been caught. Steven had a good game. Everybody, I feel like the key to victory this week was at the lines. Offensive and defensive line, amazing job. Just a good victory overall.
Anytime you can have a good offensive and defensive line, it makes the rest of the game a whole lot easier.
Absolutely. I mean, most of the yards for Emmett and Steven and everybody else that ran the ball, the first time they got hit most of the time was when they were getting tackled. I mean, the lines did amazing.
And we all got this one correct.
Yep.
Yes.
Did we break the curse right there?
We did, but we put it on Irwin. So. Next up, we had Pisgah at Mount Heritage. We really thought this was going to be a tight battle.
Mm-hmm.
Pat was thinking Pisgah was the most physical team he had seen.
Well, I thought it was Jamboree it was.
Yeah, I mean, he's used to watching other teams.
So, Mount Heritage gets the win 48-19. First win for a new coach at Mount Heritage. They were led by Braden Dayton. He's the new quarterback. 5 touchdowns. It's his first start. 7 of 8 for 145 through the air and 12 carries for 95 yards. Kaysen Jones, little bit of do-everything kind of guy. He had 89 yards rushing, 87 yards receiving, and 4 touchdowns.
That's awesome.
Goodness gracious.
Kaysen Jones, he's a fantastic athlete.
I don't know if you guys have ever seen him play, but he's amazing.
I've seen him play baseball.
I've seen him play baseball, and I can't imagine what he's like on a football field. Yeah.
He looks like a football player.
Just give me the ball. I'm going to do something with it. I mean,
yeah, that's
seriously.
Exactly what he looks like.
Yeah. A lot like St. Andre's boy. What? Justin?
Justin. He also reminds me of Kaden Jones a little bit. The way he can do whatever,
mm-hmm.
whenever, It's like, hey, go play defense. It seems like he's
just
like an
excellent football player. It's not just like he takes it beyond just being like a good athlete. It's like he's also probably an excellent. He's doesn't miss an assignment. One of those types.
And we've seen it in baseball, and I've seen it in football with him. Like he's coaching up other kids, you know, in between plays. Like, hey, do this, do that. I mean, he's a leader on the field.
Carson, yeah, who got this one right? Not you, Lewis and Mike.
That's right.
I was going off of Pat. Pat had me just
sold. Pat had
it.
You dialed Pat in for Pisgah.
Pat had me sold it. I mean, Notre Dame's offensive line, and you've got Georgia's defensive line coming in. And
I think we can all agree that Mountain Heritage is one amazing program. So I don't
for sure.
Yeah,
so
for
sure. You're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater on Pisgah just yet.
Yeah. New quarterback, new coach. I think there might have been some concern there. But
the coach has been there forever.
Not. Yeah, he has been.
I mean, it's the same system, guys.
Coach Pope, been there a long time. So next up, we had Inca at North Henderson.
Ooh.
North Henderson gets the win 35-7, led by senior quarterback Aiden Berry. He was 6 of 10, 159 through the air for two touchdowns. He also had four carries for 47 yards. They were led on the ground by sophomore running back Parker Willis. 16 carries, 161 yards, and two touchdowns. And wide receiver Boston Shepherd had 75 yards receiving and a touchdown. For Inca, they were led by quarterback Logan Trantham. 11 of 24 through the air for 105 yards, two interceptions. He was the leading rusher, seven carries, 17 yards. They only had 63 yards rushing as a team.
He was the leading rusher with 17 yards?
Correct. 63 as a team.
That's tough. Might be a long year.
Carson Lewis might get this one correct. Inca, Pat went with his home school here.
Inca. Yeah.
Didn't pan out.
No, it didn't.
Could be a tough year for the Jets.
Indeed.
So, we'll see. Next up, maybe a little bit of a shocker. North Buncombe traveled to Cherokee.
Yeah, they did.
Cherokee gets the win 20-7. No stats on this game from North Buncombe. Cherokee was led by quarterback Dawson Panther. 12 of 20 through the air for 255 yards and two touchdowns. We have a clip I'd like to play for this one. Pick one up.
I think North Buncombe finds a way to win week one, and I'm going to go with North Buncombe beating Cherokee.
I appreciate y'all letting me pick one up right there early.
And indeed you did, Mike.
Yeah, Mike, that was just a 200 IQ play there.
200 IQ.
I mean, we're just sitting here. It's like all three of us. Lewis had us all sold. North Buncombe's finishing third in the conference. They've got to handle Cherokee, and they went to Cherokee, and
How you feeling about North Buncombe third in the conference?
Not feeling great about that.
Yeah. I mean,
some people up there, you know, want to remind us that we don't cover them much. You know, give us a reason.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would like to have known how many yards.
I was looking for stats on the running back. They may put them up later. I looked mid morning, so didn't see it.
Mid Monday morning
today.
Okay, so Monday.
Yeah, Monday morning.
Okay. I'm sure he had 150 yards. Right? I mean, probably had 150 yards rushing.
Probably so. So next up, Huss came up to Arden to play TC. Not a lot of snaps other than Muka Simpson had 18 carries for 133 yards for TC. And TC gets the win, 14-10. We were all down in TC a little bit here, except for Carson, who got this one right.
Yeah, I just went off of I went off the Hansbro quote.
that I messed up.
But no, I mean, that was just we talked about it before the game. It's like we really had no idea. It's kind of picking in the dark.
Yeah,
throwing darts,
load of crap. So I mean, that was just, I'd like to say that I had an insight. That was just a lucky guess.
By the way, Tyler Hansbro did not go to Hunter Huss High School.
But I was, I mean,
I did have Carson sold on it.
Yeah, I was definitely sold.
There's still no stats for North Buncombe.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So next up, what a game this was. East Rutherford travels up here to Asheville. Asheville gets the win in a shootout, 40-36.
I'm very surprised by this, although I did pick Asheville, but I thought it would be over by halftime.
Yeah. So East Rutherford had 306 yards rushing as a team. Pinkerton, 34 carries for 254 yards and four touchdowns. That's a pretty good day.
Mm-hmm.
For Asheville, sophomore quarterback Tay Williams, 7 of 7 for 130 yards and a touchdown. Running back Clement Davidson, 16 carries, 226 yards and three touchdowns. As a team, Asheville ran the ball for 410 yards. They were led Wide receiver, number zero, Jam Skies, 2 catches for 63 yards.
A lot of running.
That Asheville offensive line must have been dominating.
Yeah, and tired.
Yeah, 410 yards rushing. That's big. We do have a clip. You'll play Asheville pick on all my sheets, but with you guys taking Asheville, you guys aren't that smart. I'm going to take East Rutherford.
That's good.
Again, dartboard.
I love it.
Didn't work out for me. Carson, Pat, Lewis get this one right, and I missed it. So
I think this is indicative of what we might be suspicious of with Asheville this year, that their offense obviously is amazing, but they may be looking to struggle just a bit on the defensive side.
Just not very physical on defense. I hear they're young, but that offense is clicking.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, I do have some stats that I'd like to share.
Okay.
You know, 8 of the 11 starters on defense, how many of them was it their first varsity game?
8.
All 8. Okay, so then, wow. All right, they also, okay, here we go. Final play of the game. It was either sack or a TD. Everybody in the stadium knew it. It was either sack or a TD. What did they get?
A sack.
They got a sack. So
they stood tall. They were
1-0 last Friday night, and that's, you know, that's what we're going off of. So, but it's one of those things that I do think that with experience, I mean, they're going to get a little bit better.
Are the 8 starters, are they like all sophomores?
They freshmen, the
sophomore. Oh, they're all freshmen.
Yeah, I mean, they have a 13-year-old at linebacker.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
13-year-old versus an 18-year-old.
So a 13-year-old and a, you know, linebacker and a safety at 13 years old. I mean,
except when they play Asheville's old school, could be 19.
That's true.
That is true with getting reclassed. Yeah. So I mean, it's I think they're very aware of what they've got, but I think something they're probably super optimistic about was, and then also it's like we've talked about that receiver leaving. It's like after last week. I mean, this is 2 weeks in a row now where Asheville's had a lot of TD celebrations.
Asheville's had 2 wide receivers leave in the last 2 years and go to another school.
Yeah.
And that school did not score 40 points this week.
Where did they go?
I think they may have went to Reynolds.
Oh, Buncombe County All-Star team.
Indeed.
Asheville, that quarterback really, really stood out to me in the scrimmage. I mean, you lose a quarterback who started at Asheville for 3 years, and he goes somewhere else. Well, you know, you're starting a sophomore. Sometimes there's some, you know, I didn't have a lot of expectations for a sophomore quarterback.
Sure.
7 of 7 for 130. So he made good decisions, didn't throw interception, took care of the ball. I mean.
And it seemed like they really didn't have to, they did not have to sit back there and, you know, throw him 30 times a game.
Certainly helps when you can rush the ball for 410 yards.
Yes.
It gives you a little extra time to throw.
Yes.
They're not coming at you quite so hard.
No, no. That, I mean, just a dominating
truth
game. But no, that's. I'm excited for them. I mean, that's a great first opening night.
Sure.
I mean, when you talk about being in a high-pressure game where it's like, you know, the game's going to come down to the last play. So, awesome. Happy for my guys.
So, next up.
So hold on a minute. They're back to being your guys
now? Oh, here we go.
They're my guys.
Okay. All right.
This week. So, Irwin traveled to West Henderson. West Henderson gets the win 27-21. We all picked against West. I have no idea why. We do this every year.
Yep.
I'm going to speak for Mike. I do this every year, and then after about 2 games, I'm like, why am I picking against West?
Mm-hmm.
So they get the win 27-21, led by running back Zane McGraw, 28 carries, 141 yards. This kid's he's good. He's been good for a long time, for a couple years
and
now.
And it sounds like he's tough. I was reading the article about him, and he broke his fibula or something in the last game last year. And so he, yeah, you know, battled an injury, probably didn't have the same offseason he's always had. And, I mean, he's just supposedly the bell cow, and they're going to hand him the rock.
Yeah. They got their quarterback coming back, too. Yeah. I mean, they got some good skill position guys coming back for Irwin. Lose Lawson Reynolds in the 22 seconds into the second quarter.
Oof.
Best receiver, best DB, preseason player of the year in the MAC. Don't know the outcome of, you know, whether it's a week or 2 weeks or don't know. Not going to speculate. Irwin, a different team without Lawson Reynolds.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, that's a huge, huge loss. And hopefully he's on the mend and gets back to it because, you know, you like to see those kids get out there and have the top performers on the field at all times. And, you know, I'm sure he's itching to get back too, you know.
Talking with other coaches, I mean, they were, I think they're as upset about the, no one likes to see injuries, and they're like, the Lawson kid's a baller, and they hate that for them. And obviously, Irwin's a different team without him. And then also, you know, we got to give our flowers to Wes Henderson for doing whatever it takes to win the game, kind of what they've done the last 2 years when we're all sitting here doing the picks. And it's like, I get a text. It's like, you should have went with your gut. And it's like, yeah, I should have definitely went with my gut. But that's why I'm 5-5 and I'm Mr. Average.
And I do think, given time, Irwin, I mean, they still have a good quarterback. They're going to be fine. But in the middle of a game like that, you have not prepped all week to play without him. So if he does not play and they have at least a full week to get ready, I think they'll be a lot better. Still, losing your best player, one of your top two players, and that's tough. Yep. That's tough.
Yeah. So we like both. I mean, we said that was going to be a good game, and it did. It came down. They scored with how much time was on the clock left? I think it was like 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Yes.
Because Irwin had the lead, and Wes comes back and takes the lead.
Yeah. So, lastly, we have Reynolds traveling out to Brevard. By the way, no one got the last one right. I don't know if I mentioned that. So, anyway, Reynolds handing out to Brevard. Brevard gets the win 31-7. Brevard led by their quarterbacks combined 5 of 10 for 120 and a touchdown, led by running back Thompson, 14 carries, 97 yards and a touchdown. Wide receiver Thompson win, 3 catches for 96 yards and a touchdown. On defense, Carter, M-A-C-F-I-E. How would you say that, Pat?
M-A-C-F-I-E?
McPhee?
McPhee, yeah.
He had 14.
McPhee?
14 tackles, led him on defense. For the Rockets, tough night for quarterback Avery Hallfield, 5 of 12 with an interception. He had 13 carries for 44 yards and a touchdown. Ty Patterson, I noticed on Max Preps it's now Ty Patterson Davis, 10 carries for 64 yards. So, Pat, at that game, Pat, you know, what'd you see?
Yeah, it was definitely a tough night for the Rockets. There's no doubt about it. The first series, well, first of all, Brevard is a team now. No. I have never seen Brevard play before, but those kids are very talented.
Final Four and 2A last year.
And they had, they lined up a receiver out there who was at least a foot and a half taller, it seemed like, than the defenders back there that Reynolds had that could guard him. So, I mean, having a target like that, my gosh.
That the Wins kid, the one that returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown?
Number four was that guy. He was very tall, too, as well. Okay. I'm not sure if he was the receiver or if he was the running back or a running back. Can't remember that part. But anyway, that kid, very, very talented. Obviously very fast, as if you saw the video of him running the kickback for the opening score. That very impressive. The first series that the Rockets came out on was actually a pretty good one on offense. They looked good. It seemed like they had it all scripted and set up. They were able to throw the ball downfield, and they had to convert, I think, a fourth down on that drive, if I'm not mistaken, but they were able to do that. And I'll tell you, the quarterback for the Rockets had an opportunity to throw to Klepper, the star tight end for Reynolds, right on the sideline downfield. And it was a dime, and it was threading the needle, and it was the only spot that the guy could throw the ball, and Klepper was the only one that could catch it. So that was actually fairly impressive to see that part of it. After that drive, because he finished the drive, the quarterback was the one that ran it in for the touchdown for Reynolds on that drive and got the only score for Reynolds. After that, it seemed like the quarterback had to run for his life quite a bit. The edge rushers that I've noticed for Brevard were very tall, very athletic, very fast, and were able to penetrate almost at will. So the ball would get either held too long or the pressure was just too intense. And the quarterback was constantly running out of there, and he was basically a running back. So it did not bode well after that offensive series from what I saw.
So offensive line struggle?
There was definitely some struggles on the offensive line.
How about the defense? Because I think that was shocking for probably a lot of people, as we just expected. At least we thought the defense was going to hold up.
Pat said something last week about the defense. What did he say?
He did say something. Hold on a minute. Defense is still going to stop them and hold them to 0 points.
I have no doubt.
Pat had no doubt.
Now, one thing I will say that I was actually very surprised and pleased to see with the Reynolds defense is they were physical. And, you know, you look at the run stats. I think the run stats tell a little bit of a different story, because if you look in the second half, there really wasn't any scoring. It was 28-7 when they went into the half, and it was the final score was 31-7. It was a field goal there at the very end of the fourth quarter that got in there. And there was a lot more running in the second half. But the Rockets' defense on the run side, they got up there and stuck it. I mean, they were hitting. You could see it. They had a big linebacker. I don't know his name, or I can't remember the number on, but, you know, he got in there and filled hard and traded some paint for sure. So that was a nice bright spot to see. The dilemma they ran into was the height factor that they were losing with those receivers that were flying down the field, because they would just be able to throw it right over the top of the Rocket defenders, and there wasn't a lot that could be done about that at that point. So definitely some things to work on.
Would you say Brevard is an athletic team?
My gosh, yes. They were an excellent team. I have no doubt they're going to make another very deep run in the playoffs. They were amazing. I don't know that there's a MAC team that right now could beat Brevard. I don't know. The only thing I've seen is the Jamboree, but the Brevard Blue Devils were the real deal for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think their athleticism will surprise a lot of teams around here.
Indeed.
The teams that haven't played them in a few years. When you think of Brevard, you don't always think of great athletes, but, you know, that seems to be what they got right now.
Yeah, and we talked about it, and I got text about it, and the Mountain 8 and the MAC.
We actually have a clip where we talk about the Mountain 8.
Yeah, we do.
And we know the MAC is superior to the Mountain 8, right?
The MAC is superior.
Is that right? Is that right, Lewis?
That's what you've claimed. I don't fall for that. What do you think?
Lewis, is the MAC superior to the Mountain 8?
I think the MAC is.
Yes. Carson?
I mean, without question.
Without question.
Yeah.
So the conference champion from the Mountain 8 beat the MAC conference champion. Brevard took care of Reynolds handily.
Yeah.
What do you say? You got to knock him off the mountain? Isn't that what you guys keep saying?
Yeah. Well, it's definitely going to be a challenging year for Reynolds. There's no doubt. They have their struggles. But what do they say? That the biggest improvements are made between week one and week two?
Yeah.
Because you get the chance to go back and take a look at film and make adjustments and that type of thing.
I just really hope the physicality on that offensive line can improve.
Well, we'll see. I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. Now, I will say this to the defense of that. You know, at one point in the second half, the quarterback came out and Tyvon Patterson went back.
Davis.
Is it Davis?
Tyvon Patterson Davis.
Okay, well, anyway, he became number 12, became the quarterback, and they just snapped it directly to him, and he took off and ran. And he had, like, two or three huge runs. I mean, he looked good doing that.
So do you think they're going to go to the Wildcat?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Is that next?
I don't know if that's next. But the dilemma they ran into is he had been, you know, the big ball carrier, too, in the first half. You know, it wasn't getting the success until he went into that set. But then, you know, he overexerted himself with all of that, and he got sick. So he had to come out, and then they put in number 15, who is the backup quarterback or whatever. He came in, and then I think that was – I don't know that the starter came back in at that point. I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah, 15, Brooks Gutch. That's right.
Gutch, okay. So, yeah, he came in at the end. So I don't know if he had a series or two at least before the end of it. But I don't know. I can't remember if the starter came back in at that point or not. But at that point, the game was settled. I don't know that I would have risked bringing anybody back in at that point either, if I were the coaching staff, because at that point it was at least 28-7 still. But everybody was talking about the running game, the running yards, that type of thing. There was no scoring in the second half, and there wasn't a running clock.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a pretty decent, you know, matchup in the second half for sure, but the –
Now, did Brevard rotate in like second string guys or what?
I didn't notice that.
Okay,
I have no idea.
So if that's case, if Brevard did play, that means probably adjustments were made at halftime because they're. I mean, I was fully like, is going to be a running clock in the third quarter.
You know, Craig and Laws are always great at adjustments at halftime.
Yeah,
yeah,
right? True. So I mean, that's probably what you see there.
I don't think the question is this year is they're going to be are they going to be well coached or not? And I was talking with someone today. It's like. And I heard this morning, it's like, oh, maybe Laws has checked out. Well, it's like, you think Coach Laws doesn't want to win and doesn't want to – he wants to go out.
Oh, every football coach wants to win every game.
Every football coach wants to win.
Well,
it's like the last thing that
out.
I believe is Shane Laws being checked out.
I have something to say about that, and I've been thinking about it. And you guys might think I'm crazy about this, but, you know, the last 2 years they've brought in a quarterback, right? They've brought in a quarterback. He hasn't fit the system, Right. And so instead of developing somebody like Robbie Laws would have done back in the day, we all know he's on his way out. I feel like this is like, you know, like a symptom of just trying to pick up somebody and bring them in. They're very good quarterbacks, and then hopefully they play good. Well, they haven't played good in this system.
We got to remember that Reynolds lost a quarterback to transfer too.
That's yeah.
Tuscola is their starter,
which is their fault.
It's not their fault. Absolutely,
they brought in this big time quarterback that's going to solve all the problems for the next 2 years until I retire.
I will say,
and this guy. Hold on a minute. This guy chose to go to Tuscola, right? So you had a dude. You had a dude, but you went outside the system, did what you've done forever, and brought somebody in.
Well,
but,
wait a minute. I don't know that Reynolds brought him in. The kid went to Reynolds.
He did choose Reynolds.
The kid chose Reynolds, and I also think he could have chose any
school. Quotation marks on that.
He lived in Fairview.
Lived
in Fairview.
He could have chose any school in Western North Carolina, and everyone would have taken him. I mean, it's absolutely. Like, let's just make that.
He had a visit to Christ School. I mean, he came by and visited.
Sure.
He visited several schools.
He ended up going to Reynolds. Didn't work out.
Went to Crest
and said where his dad went.
Yeah.
All that, right? Now this guy, week one, you're getting pulled. Probably not the best look.
Yeah, that's tough. In my opinion, they're going to the
Wildcat.
The Wildcat. I think that's an
I think they have to.
I don't know that they're going to pull him. I mean, it was near the end of the game when all that happened with Tyven Patterson coming in.
But that run 15. He made was an athletic run, so it's not like he can't run. I don't think you're going to – if they really had that little of time, it's like, does it matter who's – I mean, does it matter who's back there with the passes? It's like, I just don't know if the offensive line is that big of a struggle.
Does Ty play defense as well?
I don't think he does, no.
Because that would be exhausting. That would be exhausting.
Yeah.
So next up, we want to talk about our Behind the Beer Player of the Week. I think we're going to be talking about this young man a lot this year. Carson, who we got?
I sure hope so, because he's the running back of the Asheville Cougars. We got Clement Davidson, our first Week 1 Player of the Week. He had 16 carries, 226 yards rushing with 3 touchdowns.
Going over 200 is a big deal.
It is.
So that's Week 1. What an exciting Week 1.
Indeed.
So you know what we're going to talk about next? We got a couple polls to talk about. Which one do you want to talk about first?
Can we do the Dirty Dozen?
You want to do the Dirty
Dozen?
That's
my favorite one.
Yeah, the Dirty Dozen's way better than the other one.
It's definitely from a much more trustworthy source. So this is Derek's Dirty Dozen after Week 1. All right. Number 1, he has moved Brevard to number 1. They were number 2 last week. He says it's an impressive win, dominated all aspects of the game against Reynolds. How good is this win? Time will tell. But by far, the best win coupled with the best performance out of what any Western North Carolina team in Week 1. So.
I would agree.
My only question for it was, is it an overvalued win right now? It's a traditional winner, but is it an overvalued win against a team that maybe is down a little bit this year?
We will have to see.
If talking about that, like, traditionally, they have struggled the first 4 weeks. They played hard teams, which Brevard is a hard team. Brevard's a hard team. You know, some last week said they were a JV team, but you know, whatever. They are a hard team. But when we go to conference, like they're going to beat North Buncombe,
right?
They're going to beat Inca,
correct?
The other one's question marks, right?
I think it's a lot closer this year in years past.
I do too.
So anyway, number 1, Brevard. Number 2, Mount Heritage. Last week they were 4. Dominate a traditional power in West North Carolina. Coach Pope gets his first win. Things seem to be business as usual in Yancey County.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I agree with that.
Mount Heritage could very well end up being the number 1 team by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Number 3, Asheville. They jump up from 5. Shocking win and performance given their recent adversity losing Ray. The Asheville offense is impressive. Young defense will continue to get better with time. Mac favorites after Week 1? ?
Ooh.
They're not going to like hearing that.
Ooh.
They are not going to like hearing that.
Depending on what comes out about the injury, I mean, I think Asheville's looking good for favorites.
At least on offense.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know that anybody can stop the Asheville offense that I've seen yet, but the defense, you know, the Asheville's got to stop some people on their side too.
The cool thing about a young defense, they're just going to get better as the year goes on.
Yeah. You know what can stop any offense like that? Two things. Injury,
yeah,
and weather.
Oh, for sure.
Yep,
for sure.
You get a sloppy, rainy, snowy night. Yeah, I mean, I know it doesn't snow here anymore, but sloppy, rainy.
Do you think it's going to snow this year?
Of course, we don't have any sloppy fields anymore. They're all AstroTurf.
I am optimistic, though, because how many yards do they have on the ground? It's like, is their offensive line, you know, I mean, I know they mentioned
400 plus.
They had a bunch of big boys on there.
Yes, they have like eight offensive linemen they're rotating in.
Yep.
So up at four, West Henderson, and they're up from six. Second best win in West North Carolina this week. The ability to win close games will be huge down the stretch. Can they keep the momentum and win in a deep league? I mean, that's fair.
That is fair. Number I mean, that's a tough conference. It's not just JV teams.
Yeah.
Sure have changed our tune from last time. But that is absolutely a very tough conference.
It's still overreaction Monday, right? It's
yes.
week one. We're on week two.
3-0 versus MAC teams.
It's still
3-0 versus MAC teams.
It's still only week one.
I'm sorry.
It's overreaction Monday. Number five, Irwin. They dropped from 1-5. Close loss against a top team in Western North Carolina without their best player for three quarters. How bad's the injury? His ability will dictate the rest of their season. Mountain Heritage this week looming. So they got another tough one.
They do.
Six, Hendersonville. They weren't ranked last week. Dominant win over East. They have the athletes to win the league. Looking forward to Hendersonville, Mount Heritage for the league title. Big matchup with West Henderson this week.
I would say this, like that was East.
They scored 60-something points. They had a running clock.
And still kept
at 35. They got to 68.
And the week before that, they had like 40-something up on somebody.
Yeah. So, number seven, Reynolds. They dropped from 3-7. Bad loss against a good Brevard team. Got dominated in all three facets of this game. Still think they have a shot to be good if they can get it all put together. But Jerry Reed said it best. They got a long way to go and a short time to get there.
That's right.
Schedule doesn't get any easier. Number eight, TC. They go from 9-8. Good win after a rough showing in the scrimmage. Are they better than we think they are? Can they challenge for the MAC title? I think they are better than we thought they were last week.
I agree with that.
Number nine, Franklin. They were not ranked last week. Tight loss to a top team in the far west in Murphy. Not included in my rankings as uncovered by Behind the Beard. I value this loss over a bad loss to Mount Heritage by Pisgah and a close loss to Robbinsville by Tuscola, who dropped out. So Franklin jumps in at 9-10. Pisgah, they went from 7-10, a bad loss to a good team. Will they turn it around? Still a top four team in the Mountain Eight with a chance to win the league. Teams have dropped out. Tuscola, they lost to Robbinsville, and Christ School, they lost to freaking nobody. Other teams receiving votes, Tuscola and North Henderson.
North.
They did win.
They did win.
They dominated the Inca Jets.
But it's Inca.
Now, North was the team we talked about last year that had 112 seniors.
That was 2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago. Every game at Lewis was like, well, they've got 47
seniors. They got 47 seniors.
North was where we were at with the backwards punt, right?
The backwards punt, yes.
Yeah. And I always think about that.
I do too.
Yeah.
That's such a trustworthy. I mean, that's just you. When I'm sitting here listening to that, it's like, how is that not the truth?
Brevard, Mount Heritage, Asheville at 3, West at 4, Irwin 5, Hendersonville 6, Reynolds 7, TC 8, Franklin 9, Pisgah 10.
I would love to see Asheville and West play because what a two totally different styles of play.
Yeah. So I've shared my favorite poll. Carson's now going to share his, the Asheville Citizen Times High School Huddle poll.
Oh, Lord.
Is this more like voodoo than anything?
Yeah. I mean, this
my favorite thing is obviously I trust Derek's picks. Like, Derek knows football better than any of us. He has Asheville at 3. Go ahead, Carson. Where are they at in the ACT?
We're here. Let me just go top to bottom. Number one, Brevard. We got number two, West Henderson. I'm fine with both those two teams being at the top. You got Murphy in there. Okay. You got Murphy in front of Mountain Heritage in the 4 spot.
Ooh.
Okay. Which is wild. And then after Mountain Heritage, you've got Irwin. Okay.
Okay.
Then you've got Hendersonville, Robbinsville, Reynolds, Pisgah and Robertson. That's their top 10.
Where's Asheville?
Asheville is not on the list.
Indeed.
Did they not do their monthly subscription?
They must have canceled their subscription because, you know, back 10 years ago or however long when I was in high school, it was like the Asheville Citizen Times and the Asheville High school, they had, I mean, they got covered so much. They were the top of every list. Of they course. Had every, I mean, if the Citizen Times came out with the WNC, you know, all sports team or whatever, you could go ahead and count that, you know, Asheville, they were covering Asheville. It, Asheville's not on this list. So I like reloaded my internet. I checked my subscription to make sure that I paid for it. Yeah, they're not on there. So what I will say is they're probably, I think Asheville's probably happy about this because they're just going to give this to the kids as added fuel to the fire.
So if you're Murphy and you're number one last week in the Citizen Tennis Bowl, you win your game. You do what you got to do, right? You win. You win by one, you win by 50, it's still a win.
Yep.
And they immediately dropped to 3.
Yeah, so, I mean, it just, it goes back to really.
They should never have been one to begin with.
No.
They have
no.
a dartboard over at the ACT
and
as well.
To be fair, with Derek's Dirty Dozen Top 10, we don't necessarily cover Murphy, Mount Heritage. We talk about
Correct.
Them a little
well,
bit.
Well, we talk about Mount Heritage.
We do.
But we're not super familiar. Right.
I shouldn't say Mount Heritage. Murphy, Robbinsville, Far
Swain,
West.
Avery, all that.
We don't really cover those guys. We don't have enough knowledge or desire to do it.
You guys bypassed this in the text message except for one person, but I would love to have Evan and Zachary, who are the writers of that power rankings. I would love to have them on just to see what the heck they're smoking and come up with this list.
They were in Cherokee, I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so I don't know, but that's the list, and you know we're hard on the ACT.
They put out more content this year than they have, and it's pretty good content.
Yeah. So, and
you think it's good content?
I don't think their poll's good, but I think they put out good content about teams and stats.
And I will say, one of them was at the West Irwin game, and he posted TikToks of like the pregame speech from Coach Whitaker and stuff like that. Which kudos to them. I will give credit to them. Their poll sucks, but the other content we do appreciate because we think these kids should be. You know, we think they should be recognized.
All right, you guys ready to talk about week two?
Oh, yeah,
definitely.
So I want to go ahead and start by saying, so what we're seeing this year, the realignment shook some things up.
Yep.
Where last year, I always make a note on the stats here that, you know, what was the score last year? A lot of these teams didn't play last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that's different this year. It's good.
It's good
to shake up these schedules and get some new teams in against each other. So the first game, we're going to start right off with Owen. Owen 1-0. They beat Rosman 35-0, and they're taking on Cherryville. Cherryville beat North Stokes 68-8. They're led by Jackson Hebner. He had 262 yards and 5 touchdowns rushing. As a team, they rushed for 352 yards. This game could be over by 8:30 because there will be no pass.
Oh, you heard our coach. If we pass 10 times in a game, it's a problem.
Yeah. Right? It looks like it's also a problem for Cherryville.
We watch them in the scrimmage. They do not pass a lot, that's for sure.
The spread here, 6.5. Owen the underdog. Can Owen keep it within a touchdown or win the game? Lewis, you want to go first?
I'm kind of in a position like I'm going to pick Owen until they prove that they can't win. So, Cherryville, this is going to be a tough game. All the starters are going to have to be in until the fourth quarter. It's probably going to be like an ACA come down to the last drive type of deal. Who gets that one stop, you know? So, I'm going to pick Owen.
Carson?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Cherryville here. I think they cover. I think Owen gets gassed.
What a jerk.
That's okay.
Go ahead, Pat.
Well, I will also side with the War Horses because I want them to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know a thing about Cherryville.
You've never even heard of Cherryville.
I haven't even heard of Cherryville.
Yeah.
So let's go with what I do know.
You know what I think we should? I think we should set up a thing on the dartboard.
The dartboard?
Cherryville or Owen. Just throw it.
I think we should.
Packett actually. You and Packett actually hit it. I would hit the wall.
That's correct. Yeah, we are pretty good at pretty good at darts.
So I'm glad to see you guys picking Owen. I'm looking for a great year out of them. Cherryville gets the win and covers.
Cool.
So Lewis and I are going to pick up a game.
That's right.
But let's be clear. That doesn't mean that Mike and I are not pulling for Owen.
Right. We won't.
Oh, no. That's exactly how we took it. That's exactly what Lewis and I heard.
That's how everybody takes it.
That's what America heard. You all are not.
I will edit that so it sounds like they did not pick Owen.
So up next, Tuscola at Cherokee. These teams did not play last year. Tuscola lost last week to Robbinsville. We've covered it's tough to win at Robbinsville. They lose 28-14.
Yeah, you're like playing 15 people.
They're led by
them and the refs, just so you know, Pat.
Indeed.
Yeah.
They're led by former Rocket quarterback Jet Barley. He was 27-42 for 275 yards, two touchdowns, and three interceptions.
Sounds like he had a good game.
They only rushed for 42 yards as a team, and Ty Walker was leading receiver with 8 catches, 80 yards, and a touchdown. For Cherokee, they beat North Buncombe 20-7, and they are getting 15.5 points. Carson, who wins this one?
Tuscola wins, and Tuscola covers this week.
Carson taking Tuscola. Pat?
Tuscola wins, but they don't cover. Give me Cherokee and the points.
I'm with Pat. Actually, I'm not with Pat. Cherokee wins this football game.
Wow.
Lewis?
Hands down. I think Tuscola's pretty smart. They cut the fat off the coaching staff this year, sent them over to Inca. I'm going with Tuscola.
All righty. So we're split again. Next up, this could be the game of the week. It could be. There's a couple of them, but this could be one of them. It's the Hendersonville rivalry. West Henderson at Hendersonville. West won this game last year 35-19. Of course, we talked about West earlier. They're led by the running back Zane McGraw. Last week, Hendersonville beat East 68-0. Currently no stats on Hendersonville, but they had to have some pretty big offensive numbers.
Definitely.
Hendersonville, 12.5-point underdog. Pat?
Yeah, I have no idea, except that I'm not going to bet against West. So I'm going to take West.
I'm also with Pat. I'm not picking against West anymore. That burns me every time. Lewis?
This is a tough one for me because I feel like Hendersonville is going to be a good team.
I mean, I agree with you 100%.
But like you guys said, West, I mean, you just can't pick against them. So I'm going to go Hendersonville.
And you're just going to do that.
How many games in the last 2 years has West won by more than 13, you think?
That's the thing that I was wrestling with.
So that's what I'm wrestling with because I absolutely think West Henderson finds a way to win this.
West is a good team at winning close games.
Yes.
West is going to win this game.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely think West is going to win this game.
It's the spread.
And we all know how the spread works. so I'm going to. What, Lewis?
I'm fully aware of how the spread works.
Yeah.
Carson's fully aware.
With that being said, I'm going to go with West Henderson.
All right. That's going to be a good game. That'd be one to go see.
Yep.
Next up, these two teams did not play last year. We have Swain, 1-0, playing Pisgah, 0-1. Swain beat Smoky Mountain last week, 21-6. Isn't Smoky Mountain in the Mountain 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm 100% sure they are.
Yep.
They lost to Swain. What did you say about Swain at the Jamboree?
I don't remember.
Pat,
what did I say?
A JV team.
They were a JV team.
Is that what I said?
They're not part of the MAC.
Actually,
nah, but they look like a JV team.
Swain, they did not look fantastic. I think it was actually me that said that. Swain was not good. I'm very surprised they beat Smoky Mountain. Pisgah, will the new quarterback improve? Of course, moving from wide receiver to quarterback. Swain is the underdog, getting 31.5. 31.5.
That's a lot of points. Yeah.
Swain, listen, in that scrimmage, they didn't look that good, but they beat Smoky Mountain. I'm taking Swain here. They probably don't win. They probably do cover.
I'm also going to pick Swain just because of the 31.5.
Carson?
Yeah, I'm picking Swain. I mean, just if they beat Smoky outright, like, are we sure? I mean, I think this game could be within two scores, not five. So,
well, and what we've seen out of when we all went over to that Pisgah Tuscola game the past couple of years, and then what we saw certainly in the Jamboree this year, it's more of the same with their strategy. It's they smash you in the mouth. That's Pisgah football, right?
It's hard to get that gap.
You know, and it is tough to get up 35.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, Pisgah's going to win this game.
For sure.
No doubt. Yeah. I don't know that they're going to get it done by 30. What is it? 31 and a half points?
31. Yeah, you got to have some explosive. I mean, a lot of explosive runs.
Now.
It's possible.
There's a huge size difference between those two teams.
For sure.
Pisgah a lot more physical.
Yes.
But they're going to be able to run the ball at will. You know what? I'm taking Pisgah.
Now, I've got the other thing.
So we're switching Mike's pick to Pisgah.
I just talked myself into Pisgah.
Well, the other thing, too, that just popped into my head is we saw Swain against Reynolds in the Jamboree. And didn't Reynolds get in two quarters 35 points against Swain? I think they did.
I think so. It was 28 to 35, somewhere along.
Somewhere in there, and just a half. I'm switching, too. Give me Pisgah in the spread. I'm changing it up.
Are we allowed to change? Because I just did. All right, next up, going to be a barn burner. Inca at Hayesville. These two teams did not play last year. Hayesville is getting 9.5. Inca the favorite. Hayesville used 7 running backs last week. That's about the only stat I have out of Hayesville. Carson?
I can't believe we're even talking about this game.
Well, it's a MAC game. That's why we got it.
That's why we got it. I'm going to go with Hayesville. And at Hayesville, look for them. Sprinkle a little bit on the money line.
I'm taking Inca. Lewis?
Ooh, I'm going Hayesville.
Give me the Jets.
Thank you.
Oh, man. All right. So what could be the game of the week? 0-1 Rosman travels north Buncombe to play 0-1 North Buncombe. I don't really think this is the game of the week.
32.5.
North Buncombe, a 32.5 point favorite.
Interesting about that line. That means that Owen is a 2.5 point favorite over North Buncombe.
I would like to see that game this year, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I would too.
Yes.
It's not on the schedule, right?
I know, it's not.
Okay. Pat, does North Buncombe win by these both running teams?
Yes, give me North Buncombe. Give me the Blackhawks.
Pat taking the Blackhawks. Lewis?
I mean, with the 32.5, I'm going to pick North Buncombe as well.
They're the favorite.
They are the favorite. I'm going to take North Buncombe.
Okay. Carson?
Yeah, I'm going to go with North Buncombe as well.
I also think North Buncombe. Sorry, North Buncombe, if we jinx you.
Are you really sorry, Mike?
I am.
Yeah.
So next up, what was a very entertaining game last year, TC 1-0 taking on Watauga 1-0. Last year, Watauga wins 14-0. Watauga beat Ashe County 56-7. Last year, Watauga 11-1 overall, 5-0 in their conference. They are a 10.5 point favorite with TC. Again, just to make sure everybody knows, we get our spreads from the Simmons reports, and it sometimes takes a couple weeks to kind of
balance out.
Yeah. I do think Watauga wins by more than 10.5. Although TC had a good showing last week, I am back on.
They had a good bounce back game.
Yeah, maybe the scrimmage was they meant to look bad since everybody was watching.
Could be.
I'm also going with Watauga.
Okay, Pat.
I'm going to go Watauga, although I'm pulling for TC.
That's a clean sweep. I'm going to go with Watauga as well.
All right. In what was a very entertaining game last year and could be again this year, Mount Heritage travels to Irwin. Last year, Mount Heritage wins 32-27. Of course, Mount Heritage rolling against Pisgah while Irwin stumbled against West. Very good football team.
Now we have to have a talk here.
Okay.
Has Rodney told you how the receiver's really doing?
I have not got a report from Coach Pruitt. I will tell you that he was going to be checked out today. Of course, no doctors on the weekends. But Coach Pruitt said he was optimistic that it was a sprain. Obviously, he'll see a doctor Monday, and they'll go from there. He said, obviously, we're a different team without him on both sides of the ball. But he's optimistic he'll be ready to go.
Ready to go for this game or ready to go for conference play?
He was not specific in his text.
Okay.
So
All right, you can carry it.
All right, so Irwin, the underdog.
What did he injure, by the way? You say that earlier?
It was like his ankle.
I believe it was somewhere in the lower leg.
Yeah.
Leg, okay. Oh, okay.
So, Irwin, the underdog, getting 1.5. Pat?
Well, either way, I think whether Mr. Reynolds was there or not, I said Mountain Heritage. I got to go with Mountain Heritage.
So you say even if he's healthy, Mountain Heritage does
I still think Mountain Heritage gets this done by more than 3.5. I do.
I think if you got Lawson Reynolds, it's a different game.
Yeah.
And I think Irwin can put up a lot of points and cause problems for Mount Heritage. And I think even if he's not playing, it doesn't matter. Irwin will get the win.
I agree with you, Mike. I'm picking Irwin.
Carson?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mountain Heritage. Mountain Heritage is like my West team where it's like I never pick them. And they always win. They always cover. So I'm going to go with Mountain Heritage. I just think it's going to be tough if Reynolds does miss this week. I think that's going to be tough when you take the preseason player the week out.
Sure, but at least you have a week to prepare.
Absolutely.
It's not 22 Absolutely. Seconds into the second quarter.
No, they'll definitely be more prepared Friday night than they were.
Irwin, he'll be back.
Irwin is a very athletic football team.
Yes.
And they have, they're not going to be able to replace Lawson Reynolds, but they have some folks who can get out there and get the job done.
Yeah.
And I think that poses a problem for Mount Heritage.
Yeah, but I think Mount Heritage style of play also poses a problem for Irwin.
Their defense looked scrappy in the scrimmage. It looked better than it normally does.
Zane McGraw ran all over them.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
I don't know.
But they still only scored 27 points.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah. No, that's
you can rush for 10,000 yards, but if you don't score any points, it doesn't matter. Yeah,
absolutely. I think it should be a great game.
Yeah. I think it'll be a good one as well. So next up, Reynolds traveling to Maiden. Maiden beat Lincolnton last week, 29-26. They're led by their quarterback, Grant Lawing. 10 of 22 last week for 117 through the air with a touchdown. He also rushed it 10 times for 39 yards. Running back, Shannon Wingate, 25 carries for 90 yards and 2 touchdowns. Wide receiver, Reed, 7 catches, 90 yards and 2 touchdowns. Maiden, like I said, 1-0. They were 8-4 last year. Not a lot of folks familiar with Maiden down in that Hickory-ish area. Pat, does Reynolds bounce back this week and get the W?
I know nothing about Maiden at all. I know nothing about him. You know, I think Reynolds is going to see a team that is not as good as Brevard, just because I think Brevard is on another level, and I don't think Maiden is probably there, even though I don't even know anything about Maiden. So I do think there is.
Sorry, Pat.
It may not make sense.
Sorry.
That's my gibberish and my train of thought. But I also will fall back on that. The biggest changes and the best improvements you see in teams are between week one and week two. So give me Reynolds.
All right.
Because I think that the defense will be there. And I hope that they can get the stuff figured out a little bit this week on offense to where they can be effective enough. Let's put it that way.
Carson?
Not expecting miracles. Right. I just want to see effective enough.
Sure. Carson?
We may need a miracle, but I'm going with Maiden. I think Pat may need a miracle. He's not expecting miracles. He may need a miracle.
Do you think, like we call it Reynolds, but it's AC Reynolds. Do you think it's actually Iron Maiden?
What?
Iron Maiden?
Are you talking about the musical group Iron Maiden?
It was supposed to be a joke, you guys.
Jeez.
I didn't get it.
Jeez, me neither.
Lewis, go ahead and pick Maiden to be done with it.
Listen. After the embarrassing loss last week that Reynolds went.
All right, lay it on thick.
I really feel like they will be more prepared this week. They'll know that they can't rely on their quarterback. Patterson's going to have a much bigger presence in this game. But Maiden's going to whip that ass, and I just can't wait for it.
Agony.
I think you're wrong. I think Reynolds has got one of the best coaching staffs in Western Carolina.
I agree with that, too.
And they're going to figure it out. They're going to get them ready, and Reynolds wins this week.
Yep.
They bounce back and win. They will not go 0-2.
Thank you. Thank you for getting
my question to Pat is, with the offensive line obviously being a struggle, you mentioned a couple big runs. It seems like do you think the offensive line can do enough to get downhill? Where if like if Reynolds is like, hey, we're going to go into this game, we're not going to pass. Is that something that you feel like they can get done?
As I mentioned, when Tyvin got the direct snap, he was able to get off a couple big runs there.
But is that because of him or the physicality of the line?
Oh, I think the line did a little bit of good there on some of the run blocking. I think there can be improvement on that for sure. But I think they'll be able to give some holes there because they have other running backs other than Tyvin Patterson.
Yeah, you got to remember, if you're going to commit to running the Wildcat, you can bring in the wide receiver who just left Asheville.
Yeah,
you
and
can
he bring caught a pass, and he was very athletic when he caught when he got the one pass. He was amazing to watch.
You can bring Keeter back there.
Yep.
I mean, you have lots of options if you're Reynolds to put in that backfield.
If Kepler's an athlete, you could probably direct snap to
him. Well, how much of the game do you give to the ACA transfer?
I mean, I don't know. That mean
you, that's the question, right?
But we're not on the. I mean, we're not at practice. We're not.
That's
you know,
what I'm saying. Do they give him the first half? Do they give him the first quarter?
I think they roll out in the Wildcat and
completely set him on the bench.
In my opinion, I'm not at practice. I have not talked to any coaches. I think that's what they do. I think that's what they roll out. Maybe they give him the first couple series to see if it clicks, but I think that's what they do. Listen, we both saw Reynolds win a whole lot of football games with four running backs running right, left, middle.
For sure.
Owen, when they also ran similar offense, won a lot of games like that.
Yep.
It can be done. You do not have to throw the football.
But it's a complete change. It's a complete change of culture over there.
It is.
Are they prepared for that? Because we have already proved, like, they're not building guys up to replace these guys.
Yeah. So next up, our final game of the week, we have Asheville at Dobbins-Bennett. Last year, Asheville beat Dobbins-Bennett 21-14. This year, they have to go to Dobbins-Bennett. They have some spectacular facilities up there, big stadium. It can be a little bit daunting. Dobbins-Bennett 1-0. They beat Knox Central 26-20. No stats on their game. Asheville, of course, got the win. Carson? Go ahead and pick them.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Cougars.
Lewis?
I'm also going to go Asheville on this.
You got to do Cougars.
I'm not about that. It sounds like a toilet bowl flushing when they do that.
Go ahead and make everybody mad while you're at it. You want to just line up all the fan bases?
Everybody that supports us.
Insult everybody? Yeah, like, go ahead. That sounds great.
Good gosh.
Pat?
I really don't know enough about Dobbins-Bennett. I know Asheville's going to score a lot of points. So that makes me lean that way, but I am suspicious of that defense. And if these teams are out of the area, I have no idea what they're going to do. But it's a pick 'em, and I got to stay with the locals. Let's see Asheville do it.
Come on,
Mike.
I think Dobbins-Bennett is a lot more athletic than they were last year. Dobbins-Bennett takes the win here.
Wow.
Boom. I mean, in, like, convincing fashion.
I mean, it's probably two or three touchdowns. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure that Asheville defense can really make any kind of stops at all, and their offense is just going to put up major points.
Mike, I can tell you didn't really want to make that pick. Doesn't it feel good? Tell me it doesn't feel good.
golly. Well, guys, that's another week of picks, and I'm pretty sure I got them all right.
Yeah, me too.
Pat, do you have anything else? Anybody got anything else we want to wrap up?
I want to ask Pat a question. When are you going to learn about other teams than Buncombe County teams?
Pat's always like, I don't know anything about them,
like the,
guys.
This is like the third year we're doing this. When are you going to learn about other teams?
Agony. I am a work in progress here. That's all I can say. I'm a transplant. I'm doing the best I can. But
I tell our West guys when I got texts that are just hilarious about, I mean, just, I was like, we did roast the Mountain 8, for sure. We for sure did.
And we can go back to that if you would like
to. No, we don't need to.
Let's do it.
And we know the Mac is superior to the Mountain 8, right?
The Mac is superior.
Is that right? Is that right, Lewis?
That's what you've claimed. I don't fall for that.
Lewis, is the Mac superior to the Mountain 8?
I think the Mac is.
Yes. Carson?
I mean, without question.
Without question.
We got to delete that.
I think we have questions now.
Yeah. There's so many questions.
There are some questions. But hey, we will see how they iron out.
Yeah. Mountain 8 teams. I was the only one that stood up for you.
Yeah. Lewis is your guy.
Also, Tyler Hansborough went to Poplar Bluff High School in Missouri.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was off on that last week, too.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Oh, yeah. A listener A head coach listener texted us.
But I had everybody believing he went there.
Yes, for sure.
Pat, do you have a fun question for us?
I'm just curious about what is the college football game you're looking forward to seeing the most this season?
Wait, this week or this season?
Or this week.
Let's do this week.
Let's do this week. All right. So what is it, the obvious choice, or do we have any sleepers?
I mean, it's definitely the obvious choice. It's East Carolina traveling to Raleigh to play NC State.
No, that would not
be. I am pumped for Luke. Luke got Mike was telling us before we started, Luke got tickets Thursday night. It'll be rocking.
It's the opening game.
Well, that's a kind of a...
They want it to be a rivalry, and we want to act like we're better than them.
For sure. But to East Carolina, it's definitely a rivalry.
Yes. They hate everybody in the ACC.
Yes.
Especially the North Carolina teams. Yes. They want to beat us like they belong. They don't.
Truly the best game this week is Eastern Kentucky traveling to Louisville.
God.
The win that the Colonels are going to get, that is
Brendan
the
on the travel
watch.
Team. Shout out travel. To Brendan.
Yeah. Is that the That's same awesome. Stuff you smoke when you go to Cherokee to pick Reynolds every week?
I saw Indeed. The spread on that game is the same as the Alabama-Florida State game.
Did you see that? EKU is favored that much over Louisville?
That is wild.
Dude.
Lewis.
Derek texted me and said, can we be friends this week?
No.
I said yes.
Yes.
You said yes once we win.
Once we win.
How can you not be friends with our guy?
What are you looking forward to? Which game, Carson?
I think the LSU-Clemson game.
He actually went with a really good game. Go ahead.
Obviously, Florida State, Alabama.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking forward to some good games.
Now, what about this big number one versus number three matchup, though, on Saturday?
I mean... It's going to be spectacular.
That's going to be the game, obviously. I mean, that's the best game.
That's going to be good. What time does that kick? Do we know?
I thought it was 7:30, right?
I think it is 7:30.
So I'll get to watch that. That'll be exciting.
So, all right. Guys, we appreciate you joining us.
Yes, till next week. Tune in, and we'll look forward to it. Hopefully, I will redeem myself.